Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another Football Friday for you here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock for 2 hours getting you ready for the big weekend in the NFL. Of course, we'll recap the Thursday night game. Also talk a little NBA on the DFS slate. So great to be with you once again here on this Friday. And Davis, really not an exciting game until the finish of last night's game. That is for sure. The Vikings basically stomp all over the Steelers in the first half, and then what do they do best? Nearly blow leads, which is exactly what they did yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it felt like everyone kind of expected it, right? So we come out for the second half, the Vikings turn the ball over, and we're like, oh, here we go. Here it comes, the Steelers, who are not any good. Like, it's so funny. No one believes in either of these teams. No one thinks the Steelers are good. No one thinks the Vikings are good, and we were all ready for it. Of course, you know, the Chase Claypool shenanigans there at the end of the game. I certainly am not going to be one of those people piling on Chase Claypool, who is, you know, one of my favorite players in the NFL. Who amongst us has not done something stupid at work, right? I mean, come on. Who amongst us in their workplace has not been the cause of something bad that happened? So he who is without sin cast the first stone at Chase Claypool. That's my opinion there.
Definitely not, but I would say that Mike Tomlin postgame was not too flattering, and I won't be surprised with anything. I know that he was also benched earlier in the game too, so we'll have to see what happens. But Tomlin did not have the most glowing things to say, very short in his answers. So we'll pay attention to that as the weeks go by. Had a decent game in terms of fantasy. All right, here are our headlines here as we begin. I was unfortunate enough in my season-long league in the last week of the season to go against who? Dalvin Cook. Great job there. You ran all over Pittsburgh Thursday Night Football, 30-plus fantasy points. Unfortunately, some really sad news from the NFL too. Former wide receiver and all-pro Demaryius Thomas passes away at the age of 33 to sue a medical issue. We're unclear at this point on what. Rutgers, Ron Harper Jr., son of Ron Harper, hits a half-court shot to knock off number one Purdue. They're ranked number one for the first time, I think, in forever, basically, and not anymore, as Rutgers gets the win there. College basketball has been upside down a little bit at the start of the season. LeBron James becomes the fifth player ever to have 100 career triple-doubles. Oscar Robertson, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, Russell Westbrook, and now LeBron James. So, Davis, that should be no surprise. Although the Lakers are, you know, it seems like it's taken some time for them to gel a little bit, but, you know, they'll get there before the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, they are figuring it out, and we kind of knew it was going to be problematic for the Lakers. They basically are playing three centers sometimes because Russell Westbrook plays like a center in today's NBA. You have Anthony Davis out there. And, for a while they were playing DeAndre Jordan or Dwight Howard. They have stopped doing that. Anthony Davis starting at center, bringing in Malik Monk or Avery Bradley as the fifth starter. So I think that looks a lot better. But just very sad news about Demaryius Thomas. He was one of my all-time favorite NFL players, actually right about when I first started really taking fantasy football seriously. Doing fantasy football content is when he was drafted by the Denver Broncos, and of course, you know, a member of what I consider to be the greatest offense of all time, which was that 2013 Denver Broncos team. You know, considering everything, you know, if the Broncos season happened now, we would think it was great, but it wouldn't be as incredible, right? Because we've seen Mahomes and we've seen these Brady teams. But, you know, go look at some of those offenses back in 2013 when the Broncos were scoring five touchdowns a game. It was like when Chuck Berry, you know, played rock and roll for the first time. It was a really jarring experience, and also a great human being. Demaryius Thomas suffered insane hardships as a child. Both of his parents got arrested in a drug bust that he was present for as a child. And just very sad. I love Demaryius Thomas, and never good news to lead the show. But, you know, of course, thoughts with his family, and we'll miss him.
Yeah, definitely so. And I do remember those days with him, you know, with the Denver Broncos for sure. And then I know he finished with the New York Jets, but basically a huge outpouring today from the NFL community, which tells you just, you know, how much this man was really liked so much and just 33 years old. You know, tough story for sure to have to start today and to see that happen during the game last night, no doubt. But you know, we'll go back to Monday Night Football from the fantasy angle, but from the reality angle real quick, Davis, I mean, I think this kind of tells you that Minnesota, as we talked about yesterday on the show, has just had some bad luck, and they'll probably have to win out or get close to it. But listen, Pittsburgh is going to cover some spreads, Davis, make no mistake about it. They'll probably cover next week. That's just the way that the NFL has been. But I just can't foresee them going very far.
No, I mean, they are a decent defensive team that just has nothing on offense. I mean, they can't really run the ball. They can't really throw the ball. I mean, so much of their offense is based on, like, dump-off passes to Diontae Johnson. It's just a joke. And I said this last night. Why does Ben even want to play? Like, what is? I guess Ben is getting huge paychecks, so that's his incentive to play. But it, like, I don't know. If I was him, I would not want to be out there in his physical state.
Yeah, doesn't look good. And who knows? They may make a change before the end of the season. Although I still think, again, with their record and having a tie mixed in there, you know, two wins for them, and they do have another game against the Ravens, puts them right back in it. This NFL basically is buy your team at the lowest point, which essentially looks like Pittsburgh after last night. All right, coming up next, our fantasy standouts from the game. We'll hear from the head coaches of the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers as we're off and running here on this Friday on Fantasy Sports Today. So we'll help you out this weekend. Make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Well, certainly fantasy owners who had Dalvin Cook on their roster that didn't play him last night are definitely kicking themselves. But those of you who did, absolutely was the right call. One of the biggest games of his career. Could have been even bigger if Minnesota would have just completely committed to giving him the ball in the second half, which they sort of didn't do. Went away from what was working, and that may have made the game closer. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts on the side of the Vikings. Kirk Cousins was just 14 of 31, 216 passing yards, 14 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. We mentioned Cook, over 200 rushing yards in the game last night, 205, also 1 reception for 17 yards and 2 touchdowns. Very quiet day for Alexander Mattison. Justin Jefferson, 7 more receptions for 79 yards and a touchdown. Big fantasy day for him. KJ Osborne, who picked him up, definitely was a good add. He had 3 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. But obviously the story of the day for the Vikings from a fantasy angle was Dalvin Cook, who deemed himself ready to come back and play Thursday night, and then Mike Zimmer gave him the go-ahead to play in the game.
Yeah, I think he's a warrior. He comes out and competes. He's a great leader. He's a great competitor. He wants to play. You know, Eric Sugarman, our trainer, texted him today and said, "Hey, are you sure you're okay and good to go?" And he says, "I have no regrets. I'm ready to go. You know, this is why I do this, because I want to play." And that's the kind of guy he is. So there was no doubt in his mind he was playing tonight.
And the Steelers generally pretty good against the run. Couldn't stop Cook at all in this game, and basically couldn't get anything going offensively until the second half. So when you take a look at these fantasy numbers for Pittsburgh, if you didn't watch the game, just close your eyes, dream about a first half with a zero and a second half with everything that you're about to see here, because that's basically what happened. Ben Roethlisberger, over 308 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Najee Harris ended up having a really nice fantasy day, 94 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 10 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Chase Claypool, benched in the early part of the game, comes back late, possibly could have been benched again. We'll see what happens with him. 8 receptions, 93 yards. Deontay Johnson, a nice game, 5 receptions, 76 yards. And James Washington had 4 receptions, 65 yards, and a touchdown. A very upset Mike Tomlin after the game, with no apologies to his own team for the loss.
You know, disappointing game, to say the least. You know, just to be blunt, man, we're getting handled up front on both sides of the ball, and that makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to do what we desire to do. It makes it difficult to maintain balance. It makes it difficult to dictate to our opponents, you know, what happens or what happens next. And so, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for us until we get better in that area. We're not good in that area. We were JV again tonight. And I'm talking about up front on both sides. We lost the battle in the line of scrimmages, and that's football. We make no excuse. It is what it is. We got to be better than we were. We'll turn over every stone to do that. We got a long week coming up between this and our next one. We'll make good use of that time and assess not only what we're doing, but who we're doing it with.
Interesting last comment there, Davis. And follow-ups were asked then about Claypool at that point, who we're doing it with. We'll see what decision Tomlin makes. Obviously, having Claypool on the field gives them the best chance to win. TJ Watt was also hurt in this game. And so, you know, I would say in the end, Davis, you know, Minnesota is sort of who we thought they would be, maybe with a win or a loss going the other way. I would tell you that I think Pittsburgh's actually better than what I thought they would be. And they've actually put up some decent fantasy points over the course of the season. You know, so to me, you know, typically two teams that are probably going to be on the outside looking into the playoffs. But at the end of the night, you look back, you see 60 points scored by these two teams. You really can't complain from a fantasy angle.
No, and we got, you know, look, we got the Vikings giving us a sweat for the win. Chase Claypool gave us a storyline here. You're right, though. I mean, winning 6 games, 7 games, 8 games for the Steelers, that's certainly better than what I thought they were going to be. I thought they were going to be terrible. Ben Roethlisberger has been bad, you know, just really continuing on his trend from last season. They throw the ball short so often. And, you know, if their wide receivers were not Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, they would be in a world of hurt, because those guys are so spectacularly talented. And I do think they missed Smith Schuster as well, which is very passe to say. No one wants to be complimentary of Juju Smith-Schuster in this day and age, but he was kind of Ben's foxhole guy and was really key for them in short yardage and third downs and stuff like that. And, you know, this is kind of just what happens when you have compounding bad decisions in the front office. They stopped investing in the offensive line. They are continuing to run back Ben Roethlisberger when they would have had other options to pursue at the quarterback position. They spend the first round pick on the running back to try and improve the run game. And I know Najee got his touchdowns last night, but let's be honest. I mean, the guy, he's got nowhere to run. They don't get him the ball in space. He doesn't create space himself. You know, he's not one of those, you know, like Saquon Barkley style runners where he kind of creates his own space, kind of a home run hitter. That wasn't Najee's game at Alabama. It's not been Najee's game for the Steelers. And I don't mean to, you know, ridicule or belittle or say anything unkind about Najee. It's not his fault. Right? It's not his fault that the offensive line can't block. It's not his fault that he was a first round pick and that maybe he should not have been. But just really just a weird team. The Steelers are one of the weirdest teams in the NFL. The Vikings are one of the weirdest teams in the NFL. So, of course, we got weird results. Justin Jefferson, though, we've been talking a lot about what fantasy football is going to look like next year. I mean, Justin Jefferson should probably be pretty close to a first-round pick next season.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal, and this is going on now, you know, basically being the overall, I think, wide receiver one for over a month. So, you know, definitely coming through in a big way. You know, are you too hard on Harris? I mean, I don't know. Could his career, Davis, be Le'Veon Bell's for 3 years in Pittsburgh? Why not? You know, I don't know. I don't see why it couldn't be. You know, 8 to 10 touchdowns, 1,200 yards, Pittsburgh leaning on him heavily, and then his career fading. I mean, that's exactly what happened with Le'Veon Bell. Why not? Why can't he be that?
Well, sure, but that guy's not worth a first round pick, right? I mean, I'm not meaning
in the NFL.
Yeah,
but fantasy,
yeah, I'm not meaning to say, oh, Najee Harris is bad or whatever, but I mean, Would their win-loss record be any different if Kalen Ballage and Anthony McFarland and Benny Snell were chopping up these touches in the backfield? Like, probably not. But yeah, I mean, Najee, really interesting guy to think about for fantasy football purposes, because we don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be like next year. We don't know if they're going to be able to improve the offensive line. Smith-Schuster probably won't be back. The one point I did want to make sure to make here was, if Mike Tomlin benches Chase Claypool for James Washington, I mean, that would be one of the most inexcusable coaching decisions of all time. Like, literally, like if I took, like, my girlfriend and was like, okay, we're going to watch the Steelers offense, you tell me who you think the best player is. Like, I think Chase Claypool, Chase Claypool just looks unbelievable. He gets the ball in his hands. No one's near him. He's, like, hurtling over guys. Like, he's unbelievable. Benching him for, I mean, sure, a mistake, a boneheaded decision, whatever. But, like, let's just be honest about what these guys' jobs, I don't know. This is the type of stuff that drives me absolutely crazy when these coaches are just such hardos, right? This is Yermin Mercedes and Tony La Russa all over again to me.
But what happened in the first half that he was benched? I saw the end of the game, but what happened in the first half?
I honestly don't even know, but I don't think Tomlin likes Chase Claypool. Remember, we had that headline, 2 weeks ago, where Claypool was like, can we play some music at practice? And Tomlin's like, no, not playing music at practice. Like, go run your laps or whatever. So I think maybe they just don't like each other that much.
It could be. And look, your point is well taken in terms of the reality.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You have the first round pick. But, and again, things could change. But if I'm doing a draft right now in fantasy football for 2022, is Najee Harris getting out of the second round, Davis? I don't think so. I
mean, 0%. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's definitely a first or second round pick next year. All right. We'll take a quick break on fantasy sports today. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, it's interesting because the fantasy football playoffs, Davis, begin next week, and there could be some potential players either sitting out there on the waiver wire or maybe even that get cut right before the playoffs that you can pick up and maybe play. And Davis, I think that the dynamic right now for me, at least in all these years I've been playing season-long leagues, is that it's very unlikely that you're going to find a new player who hasn't been owned on a team right now to pick up and play. Like, yeah, there's every once in a while, there's a Chargers receiver that you'll start, right? Like, that's going to happen, or a defense that you need to pick up. But what happens this time of the year is people just get fed up, and some teams that are just playing for the last week of the season will cut someone that could end up helping you. And so you got to really pay attention to who's getting cut this week.
I mean, that's good advice all the time. Some of the best waiver wire moves that are going to come in season are not going to be brand new players. You know, it's not going to be some guy you've never heard of. I mean, like, sure, we'll talk about Austin Walter or whatever, because Tevin Coleman is ruled out for the New York Jets. But a lot of the times, it's just going to be guys who have been sitting on benches all year long, who haven't done anything, right? I mean, handcuff running backs, which is basically, because we're going to talk about waiver wire stuff here. So a key piece of strategy that you need to remember for the fantasy football playoffs is bye weeks are done. You're going to have your starters, right? All your guys. So you don't need to have your wide receiver sevens. You don't need to have Byron Pringle sitting there on your wire. You want to be maximizing the amount of points in your lineup. And you're going to do that via having loads of handcuff running backs and high upside guys. That's really what your entire bench should be when you get to the fantasy football playoffs.
All right, so let's talk about one player in particular that's of interest to me, and that is somebody that I've held on to all season long, Davis, for no reason whatsoever, and that is Ronald Jones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know that I've ever played fantasy football and held a player for 13 weeks without playing them, like, and especially I don't even have Fournette. So it was just basically like just having a player that not used. And to be honest with you, I don't think that I ever am unless Fournette gets hurt. But Jones does have three touchdowns. You had to be really lucky to play him in those spots unless you just used him in DFS. 266 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 39 yards. And what we learned about the Bucs this year, Davis, and kind of thinking back to our earlier conversations, was picking Jones in a season-long league was a failure. Picking Giovanni Bernard in a season-long league was a failure. And picking Leonard Fournette was a huge success. that was basically it. And so if you have Jones, what is the point? I mean, the only point could be is that Fournette goes down. I hate to say it. That's it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same point as owning Samaje Perine, Devonta Booker, to some extent, Tony Pollard. I mean, you probably have not started Tony Pollard for any of the weeks where he scored a touchdown, but if Ezekiel Elliott gets injured, he would go nuts. It was the same reason, you know, that we drafted Tony Jones Jr. didn't end up working out there because they traded for Mark Ingram, but Ingram proved the thesis behind drafting Tony Jones Jr. He was a fantasy star in those games. Javonte Williams, fantasy star when Melvin Gordon missed a game. Eli Mitchell, right? Raheem Mostert gets injured. Eli Mitchell, fantasy star. You know, a lot of people thought it was going to be Trey Sermon. Didn't end up being Trey Sermon. But this is, and I think the Buccaneers situation is fascinating because it wasn't necessarily going to play out this way. Ronald Jones got the first carry from scrimmage for the Buccaneers this year. He was in there as the starter. If you want to rewind your brain all the way back to week one against the Cowboys, Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette were in a timeshare. Ronald Jones fumbles. We didn't see him for like the next 7 weeks. I don't even remember. The Buccaneers lost to someone in week three or week four. Giovanni Bernard got all the hurry up work in that game, had like 19 fantasy points in that game. So it Ronald Jones could have worked out, but he's definitely a guy I want on my rosters heading into the fantasy football playoffs, because if Leonard Fournette has to miss, you know, he tweaks his ankle, gets a stomach bug, health and safety protocols, whatever, Ronald Jones is going to be a top 12 running back in any week where Fournette misses.
Yeah, 170 yards and 2 touchdowns, I think, this week last year. So, yeah, I mean, anything is possible with Jones. I guess I'll just hang on to him and take that advice and see what happens. Well, right now, it's very unlikely that you'd be able to log on to your waiver wire and pick up Sony Michel, but I suppose there's always that chance. He's owned now, it looks like, in about 90% of fantasy leagues, but that leaves 10% maybe of you watching. Of course, these numbers for the season don't look great, but a lot of them were last week, and that's what's important. 426 rushing yards, over 100 last week, 14 receptions, 70 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and certainly has worked himself at the very least into 30 or 40% of the snaps with Daryl Henderson, who still, by the way, has missed some practice this week. Sony Michel, of course, was essentially punted by the New England Patriots, who used a first-round pick on him, and Michel was asked about if he took the Patriot way over to the Rams to succeed.
I won't say brought that to the Rams. You know, the Rams have their own culture. You know, they have great players, great leaders here. And these guys want to win football games. You know, you can see it in every guy. And I'm just trying to, you know, be another piece to the puzzle, bring a positive attitude, good energy to this team.
What's been the biggest challenge for you since getting traded here so late, you know, just before the season, and staying patient and waiting until a game like last Sunday?
I wouldn't say I really had much challenges. For me, it was just more of a me being grateful for the opportunity. Yes, I had to be patient, and I'm still being patient, you know, because you never know. Each game is different. And my mindset is just, you know, take 1 week at a time, do what I can, control what I can control, work hard, and just be prepared.
What are some of those things you're doing to stay prepared?
Make sure I, you know, take every rep seriously, whether it's in the meeting rooms, trying to take as much notes as I can, you know, individual drills, making sure my fundamentals are right. Even in practice, walkthroughs, paying attention to the details, and in practice, just trying to execute to the best of my ability.
Is there any...
All right, so Sony Michel over 100 yards last week. Davis, you could make the case that was the best game of his career in terms of volume and carries and touchdowns. I remember Sony Michel played high school here in South Florida, and then when he ended up going to Georgia and he was in that backfield with Nick Chubb, It was like an unstoppable backfield, and I fully expected that to happen in New England. And now I got to tell you, I sort of expect McVay to employ that Georgia backfield now with the Rams, which would be really smart. You know, give Sony Michel first down, give Sony Michel second down, bring in Henderson on third, and then swap it out. Have Henderson in on first, have Henderson in on second. I think I've learned more about Henderson, honestly, this year than I have about Michel, which is I'm probably not going back to this well next year because this guy just has a really hard time staying healthy. And of course, Cam Akers, we probably should mention him, will be back for them next year. But good problem to have for the Rams, having two viable running backs for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Henderson has played really well, but you're right. He just has been he was out with a quad injury last week. He's got a concussion. He'd had an ankle injury. I mean, he's just feels like he's literally been banged up every single week of the season. And I also think the other point you made is correct there, which is that after how well Sony played last week in that win against the Jaguars, I think we probably are looking much more at a timeshare than it had been in the past. Because the game before when Daryl Henderson had played, it was actually his highest snap share and touch share game of the season. He got 80% of the team's rushes. He led, I think he was second on the team in targets that week, scored a touchdown. I mean, and he's had a really good fantasy season in general, but kind of like the reverse of what you want to have happening. Doesn't look like he's going to be a guy who wins you your league in the playoffs, because I do think he will probably be more in a maybe a 60-40 timeshare here with Michel. What's interesting about that Georgia backfield that you mentioned is Michel actually was a pass catcher. That was like kind of right. His role there in that Georgia backfield. And then the Patriots like refused to throw him the ball. He's barely been targeted as a member of the Rams. Michel is kind of like a cautionary tale of what happens with running backs when they get knee injuries. Cause you know, we talk about Daryl Henderson being injury prone. Well, I mean, Sony Michel has been extremely injury prone in his NFL career. He's been on the physically unable to perform list, I think, every year of his career in training camp. He was on the physically unable to perform list. So, you know, we'll see how that ends up shaking out.
I mean, next year for sure with Akers and I don't think Michel will be back, or he'll probably end up. I think he's on a 1-year deal now. He'll sign with somebody else. But you know, having Akers and Henderson in that offense next year would be pretty dynamic. All right, now in terms of the Saints wide receivers, Deontay Harris, I don't even know what happened to him, but he's out for 3 games. One of the big busts in fantasy. Oh, did he? Okay. And one of the big busts in fantasy this season, no question, is Marquez Callaway. This guy is like not even on the field on first down and second down. So, I mean, look, I don't know what Taysom Hill is going to be, but I know Traquan Smith is like the last man standing in terms of their offense, Davis. And my guess is like a 50-50 proposition for him being owned, but you'd really have to buckle up if you're starting him in fantasy. I am not confident in the receiving core or the quarterbacking for the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is what are we going to get from Taysom Hill, who's suffering through this same finger injury that Russell Wilson had? You know, I mean, Traquan's role has been good. He's been playing a ton of snaps. He has 19 targets the last 3 weeks, but I mean, the Saints might run the New England Patriots snow game plan against the Jets. They might run the ball 50 times against the Jets this week. It's gonna be very ugly.
Yeah. One other player I wanted to mention, you know, just as a waiver wire, interesting cautionary tale is that, you know, a couple weeks ago somebody cut Chase Edmonds in one of my fantasy leagues. I just picked him up and stashed him. And by the way, it could be a complete bust. But who knows? And that's the kind of guy that if I told you 12 weeks ago that you could get off the waiver wire, you would have said, no way. Connor, now obviously.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
He has been one of the best running backs in fantasy. Maybe Chase Edmonds is something for you in fantasy, playing on third down and swapping out with Connor. So keep an eye for him as well. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back. And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Make sure, if you are not already, to follow us on Twitter. And our Twitter handle is at Sports Grid. We also have a secondary one, which is actually a primary one if you want to watch our show, at Sports Grid TV. Gives you the latest news, notes, and information from all of our hosts. And, of course, our picks against the spread, fantasy content as well. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for this big weekend coming up, including the one college football game on Saturday, the Army-Navy game tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern. Looking forward always to watching that game. All right, so we're going to talk to Jim Sannis a little bit later in the show for his FanDuel advice in terms of setting lineups. And we turn now to Davis as we take a look at some core plays over on DraftKings as far as quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends go. And Davis, set me up here before we get to the players. What is the slate looking like this week? How are you building your lineups?
Yeah, honestly, it looks like a pretty difficult slate. We did this segment last week, and I was like, we got all these great plays. There are so many guys who project so well. We have all these cheap running backs. You could pretty much play whoever you want, Foster Moreau. It is not like that this week. Salary cap much tighter on DraftKings this week. The number of playable running backs much lower than it was last week. And no... real mega options at wide receiver either. You know, no Justin Jefferson on the main slate, no Cooper Kupp on the main slate. Tyreek Hill, you know, is the highest projected wide receiver, but the Chiefs are kind of scuffling. So it's a week, I think, to get a little bit creative. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring of a week. And it will definitely reward some creative players on DraftKings this week, I think.
All right, so that being said, let's take a look at some of Davis's advice over from Daily Roto on some core players on DraftKings at quarterback. Of course, the high total of the week in the NFL is the Bucs and Falcons. We have Josh Allen priced at 7,800 and Tom Brady at 7,600. And then with all of the bashing that we were doing on Taysom Hill, here he shows up, 5,600 on DraftKings. And wow, Cam Newton, 5,400. I would just wish that I knew what the outcome would be on that guy, Davis. I got to say my confidence level after watching him 2 weeks ago is pretty low. And I mean, new offensive coordinator, I guess, this week. So maybe some promise there for him.
Yeah, Josh Allen and Tom Brady are definitely going to be the number one and number two most popular quarterbacks in tournaments this week. That Buffalo-Tampa Bay game, it's got the highest total on the board. It's got the highest expected pass rate from both teams. Steph Diggs, Chris Godwin, the tight ends. I mean, lots of playable guys there. So stacks of that game going to be super popular. I slightly prefer Josh Allen to Tom Brady because he adds that rushing upside in with the passing upside. You know, Brady could go 404 again like he did last week, and Josh Allen could still beat him with 303 if he adds 60 rushing yards and a touchdown there, which basically is the same logic for why Taysom Hill and Cam Newton are on this list. Taysom Hill gets to go up against the New York Jets, who are the, you know, just the bottom feeders of the NFL. I actually think this, this finger injury for Taysom might even make him run the ball even more. They might want to throw the ball even less. I don't expect there to be very much resistance from the New York Jets in this game. I certainly don't think, you know, they're going to get up 10 points or something and force the New Orleans Saints into a pass-heavy game script. So I think we will see lots of Taysom Hill rushing in this game. And then the same is true for Cam Newton. You like the Falcons maybe a little bit more than I do. I don't think they have very much fight left in them. The offense, they've been forced to throw the ball to Russell Gage, you know, 10 plus times a game. That's never going to be the hallmark of a good NFL offense. So I think we'll just see lots of Cam Newton rushing the ball, which was ostensibly one of the reasons why Matt Rhule wanted to fire Joe Brady. He was not calling enough rushing plays. Certainly don't think that will be a problem this week against the Falcons. I could see Cam running the ball like 15 times here, which would make him a pretty good value play.
Yeah, another strange spread in that game, by the way, Falcons-Panthers. Panthers only 2.5. Like, it tells me, coin flip type game. Something also to keep an eye on, Davis, I don't know about this week or next week, but and you may have to look more into this, I'm not sure. It seems like the media is pushing Ian Book playing a little bit, and maybe he's been seeing some time in practice. I'm not sure, former quarterback at Notre Dame. Is there a split coming with him and Taysom Hill? I don't know. I'm just saying, keep an eye out on that as we move forward. They may want to take a look at him maybe if they fall out. I'm not sure, but that is something that has been mentioned at least a few times I've seen this week. So keep an eye on Ian Book, who was pretty decent, I thought, at Notre Dame. Running backs now. Alvin Kamara, happy to see him back in the lineup. Speaking of the Saints, 7,900. Josh Jacobs, essentially this week, it is him and no one else in the Raiders' backfield. He is at 6,100. Antonio Gibson coming off a great week. He is 6,000. And then Jamichael Hasty looks to be the primary ball carrier for the 49ers. I don't think Deebo Samuel practiced, I saw yesterday, which tells me that, again, on the outside looking in, and that would leave Hasty and Wilson, who was banged up. So at 4,000, I would guess he'll be a pretty popular player this week.
Yeah, we still don't exactly know what's going on in the 49ers backfield. Jeff Wilson Jr., we think he's going to be active, but Jeff Wilson Jr. to me just looks like a guy who got rushed back from a knee injury a little bit too quickly because the team didn't trust Trey Sermon. They trusted Jeff Wilson Jr. a little bit more in pass protection. He got that start when the 49ers played Jacksonville. He got 21 touches and he gained 61 yards. He did almost have that touchdown. Jimmy missed him on that touchdown in the end zone. But I think Hasty, I feel relatively confident that Hasty is going to play ahead of Jeff Wilson Jr., but it's pretty close. And because both of them are going to be active, I could see both of them not ending up being that popular, but I definitely give a slight lean to Hasty. Gibson is going to have to contend with J.D. McKissic back this week. McKissic returned from the concussion protocol to practice on Thursday. They have that home matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And we have not seen Antonio Gibson in this new role in a negative game script. They've been winning these games where Gibson has been getting his monster touch totals. So, you know, if they're down 10 points here, we might actually see a reversion of their roles where McKissic is playing 50% of the snaps, getting a bunch of the targets out of the backfield. I hope not. You know, certainly I hope that Gibson continues to get the touches, but a little bit wider of a range of outcomes with McKissic active. Josh Jacobs, no Jalen Richard. He's on the COVID list. No Kenyon Drake. He's on the IR. Their backfield is going to be Josh Jacobs, Peyton Barber, and I think they're going to call up this guy Trey Regis from the practice squad. But Jacobs had 9 targets last week, settling into a really good role. And then maybe in years past, we would have worried about Kamara here in this spot against the Jets because they had Latavius Murray. They don't have anyone to give the ball to. Mark Ingram, not going to play. It'll be Ty Montgomery. Dwayne Washington is his backups. And remember, before Alvin Kamara got hurt, he was getting the most touches of his career. I mean, he was on pace to get 250 touches, 300 touches. He got 26 rushing attempts in a game, which was far and away the most rushing attempts he had ever gotten in a game. So I expect him to pretty much get a full complement of workload here. And I think projection systems might even be a little bit too low on how high Alvin Kamara's ceiling is this week against the Jets.
Just a note at running back, the reporters who cover the Bengals say that Joe Mixon is expected to play despite missing all of this week with practice and maybe even including today with a non-COVID illness. So just keep an eye on that as we head to Sunday. Also, Davis mentioned earlier in the show, I wasn't even aware that Tevin Coleman had a concussion, but he will not play for the New York Jets this week too. So don't use him in DFS or your season-long leagues. Okay, over to wide receiver. We've got Tyreek Hill, 8,500 on DraftKings. Chris Godwin is 7,100 off his huge game last week. T. Higgins, back-to-back really good weeks. And then on the cheap side, I don't think we've gotten an update yesterday on the Chargers, but Mike Williams was placed on the COVID list, and so was Keenan Allen. So Josh Palmer, Davis, at 3,000. Looks to potentially get a start. He and Guyton is the other receiver too, although I would guess we'll have a lot more clarity on that today, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen will get their COVID test today, and they'll get another one tomorrow if they test negative today. But if I think if Keenan tests negative today, that like opens his window to playing. But if he tests positive today, I think that means that he is out. Now, Mike Williams is a close contact, so I can't say I know 100%, you know, the solidity of those rules. But if Mike Williams tests negative because he's a close contact, I think that would make him like more likely to play. I still have Mike Williams in our projections. The reason why I have Josh Palmer in here instead of Jalen Guyton is I actually don't think Guyton's role will really change at all. I think that he will probably just be the wind sprint guy is what I've been calling him. You know, he does one thing when he's out there. He goes to the outside, he runs in a straight line, he clears the space out, and, you know, twice a game, Justin Herbert will huck a long one in his direction. And Palmer, I think, is more suited and more capable of being a slot wide receiver running a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, so I prefer him. I do like that Cincinnati-San Francisco game quite a bit for DFS, especially if Cincinnati is able to get to a lead, because Cincinnati will still pass if they're up. The 49ers, you know, in a little bit pass-heavier of a game script will be, you know, they'll have a lot of completions. They'll throw a lot over the middle to Ayuk and to Kittle. So I just think T. Higgins is a little bit underpriced given how good his role has been. Chris Godwin, 15 receptions, 17 targets, one of the best wide receivers in fantasy. I think he's really underpriced here against the Bills. I would expect the Buccaneers to be throwing the ball all over the yard. And then, you know, I kind of wavered back and forth on Tyreek Hill, but his role is very good. They didn't need him at all last week, but actually their best offensive game of the year did come against the Raiders 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Tyreek had a huge game there. And he's Tyreek Hill, and the wide receiver position is relatively thin with no Davante Adams, no Cooper Kupp, no Justin Jefferson. So I think Tyreek is clearly the highest ceiling wide receiver available this week.
All right, and let's close it out with a few tight ends as we wrap up. We have George Kittle coming off his huge week at 6,900. Gronk is 6,000, and then somebody named John Bates is 3,000. You'll have to tell me more about him.
Well, the John Bates one is interesting because right now, Ricky Seals-Jones is expected to come back and play tight end for the Washington football team. We know that pretty much whoever starts at tight end for the Washington football team, they've just played every snap, right? Ricky Seals-Jones was playing every single snap. Logan Thomas was playing every single snap. And Bates, in the one game he started, he also played every single snap. It's going to get a little bit murky if Ricky Seals-Jones comes back from this hip injury and is maybe not 100% because we don't know exactly what they'll do. So I'm kind of hoping that Ricky Seals-Jones sits out for another week so that we have Bates as a potential player. I actually think he would be the best tight end play of the slate. Gronk, I think Gronk is the best way to get leverage in your Tampa Bay Buffalo stacks. He's expensive now at 6,000. Don't think he will be very popular at all at that price tag. I think a lot of people will opt to play Evans and the cheaper Bills wide receivers. And then George Kittle, 45 points last week, clearly the best player on the team. I think they are going to have to throw a little bit on the road at Cincinnati this week. I love George Kittle this week.
Yeah, and look, Kittle's, you know, health is really the only thing stopping him from being Travis Kelce, essentially. I mean, that's just kind of been his story the last couple of years for sure. All right, quick reminder, coming up this Sunday, 8 a.m. Eastern, catch me, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker for Fantasy Sports Today, Sunday Morning Edition, helping you in the first hour of the show, setting your daily fantasy lineups. And then for those of you still playing in the season-long format, of course, we will help you out in that format as well as we close in on the end, really, this week for, I would guess, all of you. This week is the end of the regular season for 2021 in fantasy football. So we press on and try and help you in the playoffs.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Offseason, we continue on next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we wrap up this first hour of the show, Davis, I mean, I guess we say it every year, but this football season has just gone by like nobody's business. And last year, it kind of felt a little slower, I guess, just because, some of these games were such a pain in the you-know-what with the COVID and all of that. Look, that's definitely been the case this year. But to think that we are closing in on the last week of the regular season in fantasy is just nuts.
It is. It's wild, and it's gone both very quickly and very slowly. You know, it feels like every week it's like, oh, another star player is injured. Oh, another, yeah. You know, Amari Cooper test positive for COVID. Keenan Allen test positive for COVID. Like, it's like, It's the worst. But again, you know, because we get so caught up in the day-to-day minutiae and we're doing our waivers and we're doing the show and we're setting our lineups and we're doing our podcast and we're busy on Sunday mornings. And then you lift your head up and like wow, it's almost over. We already are starting to talk about our drafts for next season. And, you know, I really am hoping they get their baseball stuff figured out, because we're going to need some content for the show in March and April. So really, really hope they get the baseball situation figured out. That would be very nice if they would do that for us.
Definitely. So I think to say it's been a fun fantasy football season, I mean, I don't know. I'll be the judge of that when the playoffs are over, to see how far I go on this stuff. And I would say that there's been some good performances, but I would say that my takeaway, and I hate to be like on the negative side of this, my biggest takeaway is that we didn't get Davis memorable games in the NFL this season. Like, there were only a couple of really good games with big teams. And I know we still have 5 weeks left, but like, I guess the Thanksgiving Day game was the best game of the season, Dallas and the Raiders, right? Or actually Dallas New England was great too.
Dallas New England was good. There was like, what, like 35 penalties in that Thanksgiving Day game?
That's
though
true. That's true.
You know,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think we've had a marquee game.
Yeah, no, that's been the shocker of the season. Usually you get a couple where you go back and you say, oh wow, that was the game of the year. You're right, we may not have had that yet. Chris has the update at the top of the hour. Stay on the grid. Great.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.